Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, April 30th, 2016, and this is show number 46.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
God Thoughts Radio is on the air. I'm Pastor Brad, and today I want to talk to you about the Age of Delusion Survival Guide. 5 things that you must do to keep yourself from being deluded in this age of delusion. Yes, 5 things you've got to do to keep yourself from being deceived. Let me remind you of what the scripture tells us about this age in which we live. Reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, it says that God will send upon the earth a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. Why? Because of a rejection of the truth. In verse 10, it says that people will no longer receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. You know, when Jesus was asked, what are the signs of his return? What's it going to look like? How can we tell when the time is drawing near of Christ's return? And Jesus' response in Matthew 24, verses 4 and following, he says, Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you." You see, delusion, widespread deception, is the number one sign of the times as the age draws near. Goes on to say in verse 11 of chapter 24, Matthew, that many false prophets will arise and mislead many. In fact, it says that these false prophets, these false teachers will also, they'll actually show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. So the big question is, how are you going to keep from being among the many who will be misled? How are you going to be kept from the delusion of the multitudes? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 goes on to further warn that the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. How are you going to be kept from that evil way? How are you going to be kept from what Isaiah the prophet prophesied in Isaiah 5, verse 20? That says there will come a time when people will believe that right is wrong, that light is darkness, and that black is white, and that bitter is sweet. Are we not in that day and age right now? In fact, warn you of what I believe is the age of delusion's most dangerous attitude. It's the attitude that was displayed by the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. And that attitude is the certainty that you are not the one who is deluded. Well, let's jump into it. 5 things that you've got to do to keep yourself from being deluded. The first and foremost thing that you must do is cry out to the Lord in prayer. The book of Proverbs in chapter 30, verse 8, the writer cries out to the Lord, "Keep deception and lies far from me." Literally, keep deceit and falsehood far from me. Our prayer must be in this day and age twofold. Number one, oh Lord, do whatever you need to do in my life to keep me from deception. And oh Lord, do whatever you need to do in my life to give me a hunger for your word. And I'll explain why that's so important momentarily. But here is the good news, my friends. Those two prayers, God always answers. He always answers those two prayers. Let me explain to you why. The scripture tells us in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have made from him. Again, this is the confidence that we have before God. If we ask anything according to his will, He answers it. And so, one, it is his, anything that we find in his word, it's his will. It's his will that we be kept far from lies and deception. It's his will that we can be kept far from deceitfulness and falsehood. So we can cry out to the Lord, Lord, do whatever you need to do in my life to accomplish this goal. I don't want to be deceived. I know my heart is deceitful above all else and desperately sick, but Lord, I give you permission to be at work in my life to keep me far from lies and deception. And the second aspect of that prayer that God always answers is, oh God, give me a hunger for your word. You see, it's God's will, the Bible says in Colossians 3:16, that the word of Christ richly dwell within us. The psalmist in Psalm 119 proclaimed, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart I have sought thee, O Lord. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And that leads us to the second thing that we must absolutely do to keep, if we are to be kept from the age of delusion in which we live. The first thing is to pray. The second is, of course, to prioritize the word of God in your life. Prioritize God's word. We've got to read God's word every day. We've got to meditate on it. We've got to memorize it. We've got to study it. We've got to immerse ourselves in the word of God. Otherwise, we most absolutely will become deceived. And that leads me to the third thing that we absolutely must do. And I would introduce it this way. We need to beware the group brain. Yes, you heard me right. I said we need to beware the group brain. What do I mean by that? Well, I was recently reading the very last message that A.W. Tozer ever gave. In fact, just 2 days before his death, the following words were transcribed from Tozer's mouth. And he said, we need to beware the Christianity of our group. The beliefs, the practices, the ethics, the activities of our group are equated with the Christianity of the New Testament. Whatever the group thinks or says or does is scriptural, no questions asked. I've seen this happen time and time again. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, as an example, to not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Again, listen to that carefully, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Note the deception language, again found here. In essence, what this is telling us, that if we hang out, well, let me just quote Proverbs 13, verse 20. It says, he who walks with the wise will become wise, but the companions of fools suffers harm. You see, we become like the people that we hang out with. Therefore, it is so absolutely critical that the people that we associate with are committed to God's word, are in submission to God's word, are absolutely willing to place the authority of God's word above and beyond all other authorities. And I've seen this. I've seen it in individuals. I've seen it in churches, that they wind up putting the authority of the group ahead of the authority of God's word. And this is a sure way to become a part of the delusion of the multitude. We have to be willing to stand alone if the case, if need be. We must be willing to stand upon the rock of God's word. It is our only hope to keep us from the delusion of the age. So beware the group brain. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So by way of review, the first thing we must do is we must be men and women of prayer. We've got to cry out to the Lord that he do whatever he needs to do to keep us far from lies and deception. And then the second aspect of that prayer is we need to cry out to him that he'll give us a hunger for God's word, because that is his will. And that leads us to the second thing that we must do, and that is to prioritize the word of God, prioritize the Bible in our lives. And we've got to beware, number three, of the group brain. We've got to choose carefully our relationships. We must choose carefully our associations. Now, the fourth thing that we absolutely must do to keep ourselves from being deluded is to walk uprightly before Him. There must not be, there cannot be any known willful rebellion in our lives. Let me explain to you why, and this connects to the prioritization of the Bible. You see, if you don't know the Bible well enough, you'll fall into this trap, and it is a trap of deadly delusion. You see, the Bible teaches in Hosea 4:11 that when we walk in known willful rebellion, it leads us to the consequence of deceit. It says, harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. You see, sin, we're not talking about mistakes that we make. We're not talking about the fact that even as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we're imperfect and we make mistakes. No, we're talking about that attitude of lawlessness. We're talking about the attitude that says, I know what God's word says, but I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. I have countless relationships right now that I know of people who are in this very place. I know of churches who are in this very place. They are deceived, but they don't know they're deceived because of their deception. And the reason why is they do not submit to the authority of God and His word. They do their own thing. They go their own way and then ask God to bless it, but God does not bless it. That's an attitude of deception. The only way to keep yourself from the delusion of this age is to walk uprightly before Him and submit to His authority. When we walk in sin, the Bible tells us that it takes away our understanding and it leads us into the delusion that the Bible talks about. Now, number five, the fifth and final attitude that I want to talk about today that is so critical in this age of delusion, the fifth and final thing that you must absolutely do to keep yourself from deceit is to obey 2 Corinthians 13:5, which in essence is simply to test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Let me read that verse to you right now. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? One of the greatest lessons that I've ever learned, and let me put it this way. About 20 years ago, I thought of myself more highly than I should have. I was so deceived that I couldn't even tell myself the truth when writing in my own personal journal. And I was the only one who read my own personal journal. That was the level of deception that I was in back then. I thought of myself in many ways, in many highly esteemed ways, as a man of God. And yet I was deceived in so many of them. And it was only when I began to take a close look at my actions that I truly began to understand who I really was and was not. You see, it's not who you think you are simply in your own mind, but your actions tell you exactly who you are. James 1:22 tells us to prove ourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So let me ask you several questions. Do you call yourself a Christian? Do you? You do. Why? When you look at your life and your actions, what evidence is there that you are a Christian? Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, but they are not saved. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Do you do the will of your Father who is in heaven? Not in perfection, that's why Jesus died, but in willingness. If you don't do the will of God, if you're not a practitioner of the will of God, then you're not a Christian. Now, why is that so hard to accept? That's exactly what Jesus said. That's exactly what the Christ of Christianity proclaimed. If you believe otherwise, if you're certain that I'm wrong, I want to say in love, you're deluded. You're among the many who are deceived. Not everyone, Jesus said to me, not everyone, Jesus said, who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. For many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, Did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're a denominational leader. I don't care if you are on the worship team or an usher or a greeter, if you've been in church for 30 years. If you don't do the will of God, you're not a Christian, according to Jesus. Let me ask you another question. Do you consider yourself a man, a woman of prayer? Well, praise the Lord. But let me ask you a more succinct question. Take a look at your daily actions. How much time do you spend in prayer? Do you call yourself a man of prayer because you spend 1 to 5 minutes a day praying to the Lord? Or do you even pray 1 to 5 minutes a day? If you consider yourself a Christian, let me ask you, how much time do you spend in God's Word? Let me ask you this question. How many Bible verses do you know? How many Bible verses do you have memorized? You say, well, no, I'm not good at memorizing Scripture. Well, it's true. It's not about memorizing Scripture. It's about knowing God's Word for the purpose of practicing it. Like Ezra said in chapter 7, verse 10, Ezra determined in his heart to study the law of God and to practice it and to teach its ordinance to the sons of Israel. How much of God's Word do you have in your system? The Bible says, I mentioned it earlier, Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. Does the Word of God richly dwell within you, O professing Christian? These are just some of the questions that I've asked myself. In a very sobering way, you see, the Bible says that we need to test ourselves. The single greatest, in my opinion, the single greatest deception in the world, the single greatest mistake that an individual professing Christian can make is to think that you're saved but are not. And the good news is you can be sure, you can guard against that, but it begins with a very humble approach to your Christianity by testing yourself to see if you're in the faith, by examining your life, not what you think about it, not what others say about it, but looking at your own actions. If you're a professing Christian, if you're a true Christian, then you're a follower of Christ, which means simply you follow Jesus Christ. Did you know that Titus 1:16 says that people are deluded because they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him? You see, it's not my opinion looking at your actions. It's the scripture that says many will profess to know Christ, but their actions will say something different. And God is looking at your actions. He's looking at what you do, not that your actions save you. It's faith that saves us, but saving faith will always result in action. I want to close by reading from James chapter 2, the scripture that defines faith in its most practical terms. Picking up at James chapter 2, verse 14 and following, it says, what use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Dear brothers and sisters, faith without action is delusion. But someone may well say, verse 18, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Let me remind you of a Bible verse that I shared with you at the beginning of the broadcast. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Are you paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons? You say no. How do you know? How is it that you know? Verse 21, back to James chapter 2, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the work, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Did you hear that? That's what the scripture tells us. We are in the Word of God right here. A man is justified by works and not by faith alone. That's what the Word of God says. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Five things you must do to keep yourself from being deluded in this age of delusion. You've got to pray. You've got to prioritize your Bible. You got to beware the group brain and be very careful with who you associate with. You need to walk uprightly before the Lord, not in perfection, but in willingness, and that includes no known willful rebellion. And lastly, you need to test yourself to see if you are actually in the faith. You need to prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now, I'm going to take a moment as we close today's broadcast, and I'm going to pray for you. Are you willing? Let me ask you before we go to prayer. The Bible says, Jesus is very clear, just don't make an oath if you're not ready to pay it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Mean what you say and say what you mean. Are you ready to practice the very thing we talked about at the onset of the broadcast? Are you willing to allow God to be at work in your life to do whatever he needs to do to keep you far from delusion? Are you willing to pray that God do what he needs to do in your life to give you a hunger and a thirst for his word? Well, if so, then I invite you to join me now. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this medium and the privilege to bask in the joy and the glory of your kingdom purposes for our lives. Thank you that we don't have to be deceived if we're committed to not being deceived. We acknowledge, Father, that our hearts are deceitful above all else and desperately sick, and therefore we need to come to you like this in prayer. We do not want to be guilty of not having because we did not ask. So, Lord, we give you permission to be at work in our lives, to do whatever you need to do to keep us far from the deceitfulness of our own heart, to keep us far from lies and deception. And, oh God, I'm certainly praying this prayer myself as well as on behalf of as many as are receiving it. Father, continue to do whatever you need to do in my life, in our lives, to give us a hunger and a thirst for your word. All these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.